call the order of the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, January 28th, 2019. As has been our tradition for many, many years, I'd like to invite everyone in attendance to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of the agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of January 14th.
Motion to approve.
Right, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the executive session minutes as drafted. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Minutes, let the record show that the vote was 4-0 and Councilmember Purnell was absent. Next is the statement for closing the executive session on the 14th. It was first to regarding the acquisition of real property and to consult with legal counsel. The 1C on our item is the approval of the regular session minutes. Do we have any questions or corrections to the regular session minutes?
Motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilman Goyas to approve the regular session meeting minutes of January 14th. All in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. So it was again 4-0. Okay. Let's see.
David's here.
Dave's here.
Okay. There you go. Good. Our next item on the agenda, number two, is a quarterly financial report from the Berlin Fire Company. And David, we'll turn it over to you, and then you can introduce.
We've got Assistant Fire Chief R.J. Rowan here with me, and EMS Captain John Holloway. Has any operational questions?
Do you want to do these slides?
Sure.
Okay.
Extra reading.
Great. Right. And I guess any time it works.
Again, okay. Were you going to put
it? It's right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, you trained me last time, and I apologize. All right. All right, we'll do the fire company first, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right, so from July to December, the in-town fire and rescue calls, there's been 123 of those. So it equates to 44.5% of the calls for fire and rescue are in the town limits. And this quarter, it was 50 calls for 46.72 for in-town. And then the next page on your printout, I think we did two slides per printout to save a little paper. Our busiest days. Still, the overall average for the 6 month is Friday and Saturday, but for this quarter, Monday and Tuesday seem to pick up. So, as the chief briefed the mayor and town administrator, we think that's probably because now this is October through December, we're into school time and things like that. So the weekday times have picked up, and then the busiest times are still in the afternoon, 2 to 3 o'clock, and this quarter was 3 to 4. So our busiest times are still in the afternoon when most of our volunteers are still working their jobs. Same thing with the overall time period, noon to 7 is, again, the majority of the time for the 6 month period in this quarter. It did stretch out, and the call seemed to equate out to 8 o'clock in the morning. So again, that workday period, second quarter seemed to stretch a little bit, started early morning calls. And, you know, the other thing we can maybe attribute it to is, again, school has got in session and things are going on. No more traffic in the morning, calls for service. The response time, that was one of the measurements from the study. They want us to do 9 minutes or less. We're well under that. This is for fire and rescue calls. We're at 5.79 minutes. The county has what they call a response check time of 6 minutes to check to make sure somebody's responding, and we don't reach that announcement. If you have a scanner, you don't hear that. When Berlin has a call, we're not reaching that six-minute time. We're coming close, but we're not reaching it. That's page 29 of the matrix report. He refers to 9 minutes or less for volunteers. He does have a goal on page 32 for 90 seconds, but that's only if the station is staffed. We don't staff for fire and rescue. We're dependent on the volunteers to get their call by the pager or the fire siren and respond. Fire Prevention Week activities this quarter had fire prevention involved. That's in October. So the activities by Cam Elementary, visit to the school itself and back to the station, Worcester Preparatory School, Berlin Head Start Center, and in a lot of our local daycares, they will make a little field trip to the fire station and get a little tour and a little plastic hat and get to look at the fire trucks and get their education there. So that's our fire prevention activities. And then the Apple Drug Fire, that was a major event for this quarter in the town limits on November the 10th, early morning fire. The fire marshal determined it's caused some sort of electrical issue, but a big response for the fire company and good save of property within the town limits. Just damage, and they were open, you know, later that day briefly and got back in their business pretty quickly. So that was a major fire within the town limits on this quarter. Then we get into the highlights of the fire company budget. So the revenue. Fundraiser, we had that, even though it was September 9th, we would have incurred any revenue, would have came in the second quarter. It was rain. We didn't have to have a successful fundraiser with participants due to the rain. And our fundraisers are down with our budgetary number that we thought. You know, hall is not available for rent, hasn't been, because we're under the four-year construction. If you've driven by the firehouse, that's scheduled to be completed within the next couple of weeks. Got all that glass and that's been there since 1965 out, which is going to help with some of our heating cost, and as well as safety, and just a foyer, you know, handicapped foyer area where people can come in and out. So just our hall is not being able to be rented per the fire marshal while that's going on. County funds, you know, we're 50% of county funds because they have half a year payment. We get those July or August, January, February. So we should get our next half county payment sometime in maybe this week or next week, and the town funds are being distributed per the town agreement. Expense highlights, the building maintenance and repair, we are over on that because we've had some boiler issues and some things that I mentioned last quarter. We do have that in the build in the capital repair for this year, the roof and the boiler. So once we get through the heating system, we can get heating season, we can get that project underway. Communications, we still haven't gotten an answer this year. We're going to need to buy some supplies, or if they're going to go ahead and get us some of the spare equipment, batteries and stuff that the officers would like to have. Fire prevention, if you go to the spreadsheet there, we're at 154% of fire prevention. We're way over. The school number of students is greatly increased, as the chief provided, again, a brief for the mayor and Ms. Allen last week. A lot of demand for this fire prevention, and the kids need something. They need something for education. The smaller kids like to have, you know, a coloring book, something they can learn, so we're buying those supplies. So we provided all those things and went over budget, so we'll identify some other budget items that hopefully will fall under budget to balance that out. Our fuel is slightly over. We're at 63%. That's, again, our call volume's up. Our training is up. Got some driver training going on that takes fuel to take the apparatus out. So we're slightly over, and we'll continue to monitor that. We're at 63.87%. And then fire equipment maintenance and repair, we're over on that somewhat. We're at 71%. Halfway through the year, we should be at 50. We've had some gas meters that need repairs and new sensors that we weren't expecting. And then continuing on with the fire and rescue expenses, physicals at gym, we're over 50% there. We're at 58%. Again, it's a good problem to have. We got some new members coming in. They have to have a physical, make sure they're fit for duty and can do the physical demands of being a volunteer fire personnel. So, again, it's a good problem to have, but sometimes it puts you over budget in these line items. Building improvements, I mentioned before you earlier. Again, that's supposed to be completed in February. They are drywall painting today, and hopefully the floor tiles later this week, and then the roof and boiler are being planned after heating season. So you have also attached the breakdown of every line item. We're at 27% of revenues and at 37% of expenses. As we've discussed with Mayor and Council before during work sessions, we try to be fiscally responsible. We don't do a lot of our new purchases of items until the last quarter of the fiscal year because, you know, what if you run over? You buy a lot of things in your capital budget, and then we have a big repair. We don't have the cash flow, or we don't have accounts we can move from one to the other. So we wait until end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter before we make those purchases. I think I've hit all the highlights of the accounts that we were varying from our 50%. And they're again highlighted on the last page that you have there. With the way the funds are being paid by the town quarterly and past the quarter into the next quarter, we're having to do a lot of transfers from our contingency funds. So we've talked to Mr. Stern and Mr. Berge about how we can reduce some of these transfers and what maybe we can do next budget year to make that a little better, because that gets confusing for the accountants, get confusing for the members, and when you guys see the financials, may get confusing to all of us.
Before we move on to EMS, I liked seeing the performance indicators, like on slide 4, where you were talking about your response time. The last presentation, I realized that was a short window, but it didn't have it in it. I like seeing that. And the other thing is, you mentioned that your fundraising efforts were down because of the 5K. Are there any fundraisers, since we have the press and stuff here, that you would like to talk about that are coming up in the next quarter?
Mr. Tittle, nothing currently planned. We didn't want to plan things until we knew that four-year project was straight. So thank you for the opportunity, but not this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you say your heating system? I read it twice in here. I can't make out whether you're replacing it or repairs.
We have it in the budget to replace it this fiscal year, but we are currently, if it breaks, that is what we are using now. We have to continue to fix it. Like 3 circulators motors went out. We had to fix those to continue to have heat. To replace it, we have a boiler system running off fuel. We hope to replace that with a boiler system running off of natural gas, which would be more efficient. But that can't be done because to replace it, every company that we've talked to requires the way the piping is in the building since 1965 requires a window where we would need no heat. So unfortunately, we are, through the next couple months, we are in the repair mode if something would break.
David, one thing, I'm overly stressed about the fact that revenues don't come in exactly a quarter at a time, because I don't know of any business, and certainly none of my experience with government, it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes a lot comes in and then nothing for a while, and it's very uneven. So I think, you know, basically, like you're saying, you put off some purchases. I know the town does the same thing. Some projects we don't start until the spring, even though the fiscal year ends July 1, just to make sure that everything is working out as best we can. And so we understand that. And I think that's something there. That's why we have contingency funds, because sometimes we have to dip into them when the revenues are down, and then we replenish them when we can get the revenues back up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, for the emergency medical services, 540 calls, that's through December. 58.5% of those are within the town limits for the individual quarter. So it's like a higher percentage, 65% of the calls were in the town limits. And then the transports, of those 200 and 90 calls, 198 of them were transports, and 52 were non-transports. Non-transports may be such, they got there, the patient changed their mind, went to an auto accident, they don't really need to go. Somebody's going to take and go into a private vehicle, go to the hospital, so that's what a non-transport would be. We still have to go and provide some sort of care, they just don't accept transport to the hospital. The busiest days for the EMS are still overall for the six-month period, Saturday and Sunday for this quarter, same as fire. Jumped up to some weekdays, Monday and Thursday, increased. And the busiest times of the day are for the ambulance or in the afternoon, 1 to 2 p.m. are the highest number of calls. And then the range of calls, similar to last quarter, 10 in the morning to 8 for the six-month period, and 9 to 8. So it's a little later at night for the ambulance, goes to about 8 o'clock that we have busy calls. Doesn't mean we don't have calls overnight. This is just the window where the greater number of calls are. And as Mr. Tindall said, response times, we have those in here. Very difficult to nail down the response times for the ambulance. Nobody's fault, just the way things are. The report that we got from the 911 center shows 7.5 minutes. We have staffing there, so we know that's not the case. This is an average. So what skews our average and makes it so high is our second and third call. We don't have staff there, so we could be 10, 12, or 15 minutes because the volunteers got to come from home, you know, get dressed, drive all the way to fire, get the ambulance out the door. So those second and third calls and the fire calls that ambulance is required on kind of skews our average. So we did take a look at some random calls where the paid staff is there, what calls they were going on, and it was under the 60-second standard. So if the crew is there during the daytime, awake and working, we are out the door a lot of times within 60 seconds. It's 58 seconds. It gets close to the minute, but they do have to secure the building. They've got to lock the building up. They just can't run out with the doors up and things unlocked.
It's just the county, maybe the county. Because it makes perfectly good sense what you said, is do you or the county have a way of measuring like what I call first response and then second response? Because, you know, obviously, and it's not surprising that the first calls for EMS service are immediate, and the second calls would depend on the availability of and proximity of the volunteer paramedics that are coming in. So is that something that you're able to record or the county could help you do?
We can look at, do like we did now. We'll look at the individual call reports. We'll take a random sample of them during the period of time.
It is something where you should get credit for.
Yep.
For what you're
and that's why we did that, because we were shocked when we saw that number. The chief and I were like, that's not, and then the light bulb came on.
What format do they send the information out? Can you get it in Excel?
Sometimes it's in Excel, sometimes just in a PDF printout. Just depends. It's hard to determine what the first call and second call is. You'd have to, a lot of variables. You'd have to know what week it was and what ambulance was parked at the front door, because it would be by unit number, 1, 2, or 3, whether that ambulance was out on the road, you know, at one call and responded to another. There'd be a lot of variables. But if we take, we thought we did a good job of taking the printouts and actually looking at the calls where we know they were at the firehouse. We knew there was not another ambulance out and that type of thing. Because I did the same thing. I thought, well, I could sort something with Excel.
Yeah.
But then if you don't know what ambulance is parked at the front door, maybe number one ambulance was at the front door, but since they were outside washing number two, they jumped in number two because that was
you can
quicker.
Probably manipulate this. If you're getting it in Excel, you can use something else other than average that might give you a better reading.
So it's growing pains.
742 and your crew, yeah. It's in. Certainly, for them to get credit, I'm sure they can come up with some creative ways of saying, hey, you know, let's let people know what this level of service is, which is quite
sure.
Okay.
So moving on to the budget part of the emergency medical services, and you have the spreadsheet on the back. Our donation drive, as we reported last quarter, you know, we don't do that till November, so this quarter now has donations in it. The annual donation drive, that's the mailer that we do where people pay the $40 and that gets applied to their copayment or deductible or balance due. And then the people do extra for that. So somebody may write you a check for $100 and we divide those up between donations and annual donations. So those are right along budget. Matter of fact, a little bit of the donations are exceeding what we estimated. The invoices, as the mayor mentioned earlier, we're at 55%, but the things fluctuate. That October, November, December billing, you're looking at our busy time of the year. Those are those July, August, and September calls that are now starting to get paid through insurance. So we know the next quarter will probably go down. This will be our slower period. As well, you run into the all times of the year, the calls where people live out of the area and just don't pay their bill and no way to really go after them because they live out of the area. Our county funds, the reason it's 100% is we get all that money at one time. They send one check for the county funds for EMS, and the town funds are at 25% because we received our first quarter revenue, and then after our report tonight, we'll get our second quarter per the agreement. Then we go to the expenses. Professional fees, we talked about it last time, they continue to exceed. That's because of the additional work required by the legal and accounting staff to create the new corporation and make the changes that need to be made legally and accounting-wise, and working with Mr. Stern on the various analysis that he'd like to do, you know, for the town. Payroll and career, we're very pleased with that. It's at 49.33. We should be at 50%, so that's good. In the spring, we'll have people recert and things like that, so those we expect that will stay at, you know, probably 75% in the next quarter. Training, we're just slightly over. Again, relating back to the gym and physicals on the fire side, training is a good thing, so if people want to go, we don't deny their training. So that's a good thing to go with the training. And the same with the volunteer incentives. If they go on the calls, we're glad to pay that stipend. The building maintenance repair, last month I told you we'd be over, but I didn't know how much because I think it was that day or the day before we came up. The total failure of the HVAC, the heat and ventilating air conditioning unit for a bunk room. So that was totally unexpected, and that put us over budget 520%. So on the last page, I think I've hit all those items. The overall expenses, we are over 50%. We're at 53.37. And, you know, we're going to need to monitor cash flow. That's been the situation with the ambulance. We have no contingency funds. So we talked to Mr. Stern about that last week. And he'll have more of analysis of that on our next quarterly report on, you know, what funds might need to be needed before the end of the year. Sure, we can pay our bills because there is.
Can you give it just a second?
Yeah, that's okay. Sure.
One more. It's hard to hear.
That's okay. So, in closing, just what I was mentioning on that last page, I've hit all the revenue and expense highlights. We're a little over 50%, and I've mentioned those account categories that's put us over that 53.37%. And then just the cash flow analysis for EMS, there is no contingency fund for EMS, so we need to make sure that we actually have the actual cash to pay the last payrolls. And as we spoke with Mr. Stern, we'll make sure we have an analysis that he's reviewed for the next quarterly report that you'll have. So we'll make sure we have all that and have him review that.
Does anyone have any questions? For David Fitzgerald, the president of the fire company.
Sure. Did you get the information to John Stern on these numbers? And if so, when did you give them to him?
John received printouts last week, hard copies, and then our accountant was working with Mr. Stern, so I don't know the exact date, but I can call him.
So he's not been given your electronic data yet?
That would go direct from the accountant, and it wouldn't be through us, but I could verify that. I know that was all in the works. But I can't give you a date because that doesn't come from us. The electronic comes direct from the accountant.
And I would say, yeah, that the electronic, our goal is as soon as the information is available, because that way John, while he's working on that, then he looks over the hard copies, but obviously nowadays so much work's done on computers and things. It just makes it much more efficient.
I'll call whoever you want to call after I call Mr. Berge tomorrow and make sure you get some correspondence.
Tell me what your plans are for the old library.
Currently, the fire company has spoken about the meeting room and training area being over there, as well as our office space, because our office space now is going to be converted to the bunk room facilities. That's our current plan that we're in the process of finalizing, measuring, and make sure things fit, and that type of things. But that would be the office area with the goal. The main goal we want to do is free up area so the employees have a better facility for bunk room. That's been our priority for some time.
But I thought we were going to do that in that room on the second floor, because if you remember, we discussed there's quite a few agencies looking for space, and I know two of them that were interested in that library. They're paying several thousand dollars a month where they are now.
Well, that's our current plan is to keep them downstairs, because one of the things about, and we went through this with Matrix, about having employees upstairs. They have to go up and down responding to calls to make this 60-second criteria if they're upstairs. So that's our current plan. Not saying that it can't change, but well, to answer your question, our current plan, that's what it is.
I would encourage you not to act too fast, because one of the things that we're all interested in, and I know we talked about this very informally and briefly sometime last year, but to back up what Tom just said, Councilman Coyer said to say, I think there is demand out there for space for a variety of things, for private sector, nonprofit sector, public sector, that you could have a source of additional income right there that would be guaranteed. And I would ask that before you move over an additional space, that you consider your revenue potential from that building. I mean, there's not many places available right on Main Street with parking and that proximity. So I think everyone understands everyone needs money. Right? But at the same time, I think it's also important that we are sure that everything's being done with what you have, because obviously to maintain the level of funding that we are currently at, we're going to have to raise more funds ourselves. So if we know everybody's doing everything they can, our company's doing what they can, EMS, town, then I think it's much more understandable to the public, which ultimately has to pay for all of this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hold on one second. When we were in our discussions, we talked about sending a letter from the fire department and the town to the new emergency director down in Snow Hill. What's the status of that? Has that been sent?
To the best of my knowledge, the fire company letter was sent. I don't know if anything
was
sent.
And we sent one on our end?
To the,
no,
the town.
No, because I didn't know the fire company had sent a letter.
It was in the packet that was turned in to Ms. Allen in December. That all of our items that we were required to do by the contract December 31st were submitted.
Okay.
A copy of that letter would have been in the packet.
Perfect. Thank you.
Are you doing bunk rooms, kitchen, offices out of your new station?
I'm sorry.
Are you doing bunk rooms, kitchen, offices, anything like that out your new station?
The new station is strictly for apparatus bays, two bathrooms, and a mechanical room where you got to put the breaker boxes and all that in, and a small little radio room where you have a computer and be able to answer the radio. But no offices, no. The open area, there's some open area there. We may put some gym equipment in to save us the expense of paying for the gym every quarter.
Well, I want to agree and emphasize that I think what the mayor told you, I really think you guys are missing the boat on leasing that unit that you've got in there, that old library. You're looking at probably $3,500 to $5,000 a month income from that.
It's not like a dribble or a drag.
You're also going to free up some space once you get the new building, because you're not buying any extra equipment.
No,
right?
No, we're trying to get the equipment that's stored outside into the vehicle, plus there's already equipment at Station 3. So, no, we're not buying any new equipment. We have equipment at Station 3 now that's being leased. The boat is being leased. It'll get moved over. That all falls under the chief's purview, so I don't want to overstep my bounds speaking for fire chief. And then we have equipment that's outside, stored outside at headquarters, that needs to get undercover. It needs to get inside, so the chiefs will rearrange as they feel appropriate.
Okay. please do me a favor and have yourself and your accountant get in touch with Mr. Fleetwood tomorrow and let us know when that information was given to Mr. Stern.
I will do that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Number three on our agenda this evening is Resolution 2019-01, a resolution adopting revisions to the nonprofit, adopting revisions to the nonprofit grant policy, as recommended by Administrative Services Director Mary Bowen.
And Mary's not here, so what's presented to you if you go into the tonight's packet, Resolution Number 2019-01. Does that need to be read, Dave?
No.
Okay. What this is in essence, if you turn back to the staff report, the existing policy, there's some revisions, and the key to the revisions are remove the eligibility for faith-based organizations, eliminate community engagement and economic development from the list of eligible categories, includes a requirement to provide the Maryland charity ID number in compliance with state law, and number four requires the businesses to be in good standing with the Maryland Department of Assessment and Taxation. And if you go in the actual policy, I think A, B, and D are very self-explanatory. Letter C, we're talking the way it's currently in the policy, it reads educate and engage residents. And that's being changed to educate residents.
And I want to point out, too, here that all of these recommendations came after this year's first cycle under our not current and first nonprofit grant policy. And these are things that, you know, we learned by doing, and that's why they were recommended. And modest tweaking, but that it's also important to make this process as fair and equitable as possible.
Well, I think it's a great tool, and I think Councilman Tindall brought this up, didn't he?
During last
our
last budget workshop.
It's a great tool, great idea. It cuts it to the chase. Perfect.
And it's nice that we're learning what works and what doesn't work. I mean, it's a new policy,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Working the kinks out of it. I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 2019-01.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Pinto to approve Resolution 2019-01, amending our nonprofit grant policy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Next, as our departmental reports, we have some folks out tonight, unfortunately, primarily for health reasons. Let's see. First is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. Thank you. I don't have any.
Okay, thank you. Mary's out. Jane's out. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Past 2 weeks at 323 Buttercup Court, we installed a new underground service. Also at Savage Substation, the power plant, and the tie point with Delmarva Power, which is out back of our Schoolfield Street shop. We have a battery racks, which are 48-volt DC battery racks for our relay systems. We actually had to do an inventory for that because it's now mandated by the state that we have to basically report what size batteries they are, how much acid's in them, that type of thing. And it's for like emergency-type situations. If there's a fire or something was to happen, they know what's inside the building. So we had to do that to satisfy the Maryland Department of Environment. And then also, on December 31st and January 1st, we received notification for possible peak shaving, and we were right at the threshold. We had to have people on standby from 5:30 in the morning to about 8:30 because we were right there, right on the borderline, and then it kind of just dropped off, and so we didn't have to run, but it was worth having the manpower there in case we had to run, so we didn't miss the peak. But those two, we did run. Then also at the power plant, we've been working on the LED retrofit light replacement. We're replacing all the lights in there with LED lighting to conserve energy. Then also on Tingle Street, we had a power outage which occurred on Wednesday, the 23rd. It went out at 2:43 p.m. and we restored power at 3:09 in 26 minutes. What caused the outage was a large tree limb broke out of the top of a tree. We had some wind issues the days prior to that, so it actually broke the tree limb out. And then today and tomorrow will be meter reading. And then also we received notification today from AMP that we're going to have possible peak generation Thursday due to the storm that's coming from west heading this way.
Okay.
That's it.
Any questions for Tim? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Allen.
Nothing to report this evening.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Dave is out. And next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have just a few things tonight. First of all, Restaurant Week that happened a couple of weeks ago was a very big success. At one point, Justine over at the Blacksmith on a Tuesday night made over 100 desserts that evening, which is really nice for our restaurant community during a very slow week when everyone's full from the holidays. We have a Valentine's event coming up on Saturday, February 9th, from 12 to 3. This is our third year. Kids come to the Welcome Center, they decorate bags, and they walk around town and collect treats. And also 11 to 3, we'll be offering free carriage rides for Valentine's. And I'd like to say thank you to Councilmember Tom Gullius for sponsoring the flyers going to the schools for our Valentine's event. So thank you very much for that.
They're for kids also.
Excuse me. Starting to work on the farmers market already. So far, all of the farmers from last year are very excited for it to start again. It'll start May 5th. We may do some revisions on the location this year, so stay tuned for that. Been working on facade grant reviews now that we've received that extra funding. Facade grants are coming through, so we've been going over the facade grant applications. Some new economic developments, new businesses downtown. Uncle John's Soap has expanded and moved to where the Burley Florist was, and he's open now. Madison Avenue Boutique will be opening next to the bookstore. And so I have two vacancies. Walt's Train's shop will be vacant after March, and then also Culver's Antique space is still available. They are recommending that the entire building get rented out, so they're not willing to split that up. So it's a large space to rent.
And which one space is this?
Culver's.
Okay.
Culver's. An accountant has moved into where Gilbert's Provisions was behind Bruder Hill, so that's good. Working on with Jeff and the team, sustainability community designation that is due in July, but our time is up, so we're beginning to work on that. And then at the Berlin Chamber of Commerce dinner last week, I won the Bright Idea Award for turning Mr. Jesse Turner's bathtub into the shoe collection for Diakonia, so they gave me an award for that.
But letting everybody know what the
also,
Chamber of Commerce, which was
right,
a very
so,
nice job.
So also, we've been talking about, you know, everything that the town does for the Berlin Chamber of Commerce, or the town does for the Berlin Chamber's events all year. So they generously donated $5,000 back to the town in the form of one of those giant checks. And I think the picture will be in the paper, I think, next week. So they'll expect a check for $5,000 from the Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you.
And thanks to Tom for giving the welcome speech that night.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Enjoyed it.
Very, very nice. It was the insulation.
Insulation dinner. That's
insulation back. Yes.
And I'm on vacation starting Wednesday and won't be back till next Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ivy? Okay. Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood, who is also filling in for our town administrators.
I have nothing to report for myself and nothing for Ms. Allen.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I one thing, David, I'd like to just kind of provide a little background. Right after the meeting last week, when Pam Hague came before the council with two concerns, one was she was advocating for a leash law, which we have, and I would like to explain a little bit about that. And the second item she was advocating for is we'll try to restrict or limit Airbnbs, rentals in the town of Berlin. And we do have a requirement that any rental must be to provide rentals for accommodations. You have to have a business license.
But in, a rental license.
But in both cases, we really have no way of finding out if either of these situations is not being done unless somebody calls either town hall or the police department. And it makes sense. I don't think any of us want government employees, even the friendly folks at the town level, coming into your homes and checking to see if you've got anybody staying overnight. That's just not the way it works. Also, the leash law, quite frankly, has been on the books since 1980. We're very fortunate that we seem to have like sprees, periods where we have no problems at all, and then as life is, you might have a period for 2 or 3 months where there's more, you know, 2 or 3 incidents. Again, we have the ability to enforce those things, but I can't see where we will. I just can't see we'll ever have enough law enforcement officers that we can have people literally patrolling the dogs and people walking with the dogs. It's not about dogs running around loose, but apparently, you know, when some people, when they're walking the dog, they're not on a leash. That is in violation of the town code. There are fines for that sort of thing. But if you have it, what we can't do, we can't be the citizen and your town public servants at the same time. We can't be both. So if it's either one of those things is bothering you, and you have, if there's a leash situation, you need to call somebody and this. I don't mind asking you to call. It's a lot more practical now because almost everyone in the world has a smartphone or cell phone. And so if you're seeing something, you can call the town, and we can respond as immediately as possible, assuming there's not some other more important emergency. That's occasionally, but not all the time. And the same thing with the rentals. If you know that, and I've had people say, yes, I know of some rental, but where are they? Oh, I don't feel comfortable. Well, what am I supposed to do? What are any of us supposed to do? So, you know, I think it's something that we want to do the right thing. We may, as we get experience and we see other communities that have a much more impact from Airbnbs, we'll find out how they're tweaking their ordinances and regulations, and we're certainly open to that. But it doesn't matter what we have on the books if we don't have citizens telling us where the problems are and when they happen. So just throw that out. I want to make sure that, you know, we want everyone know that we take these suggestions very seriously and you know, stay tuned. And I just urge you to, you know, if you see something, say something. Thank goodness we're talking about things of nuisances versus life and death situations, as they do in metropolitan areas. But it's still the same thing. We can't be you and us at the same time. And we certainly don't want anybody knocking at your door, bothering your quiet enjoyment of your home. All right. Do we have any comments from the council?
No, sir.
I have nothing.
I'd just like to comment on the police department. Last week they got real good coverage on the police cameras, and every time I turned the TV on, the chief was on there. We get good coverage from the press, but we're not always on the TV, so we really got good coverage from the TV. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any comments or concerns that anyone here tonight wishes to address to the mayor and council? Do we have any